It's not enough to be a servant. We are called to be light. You know, it's a very human, natural thing and a worthy thing to put our family first, put our country first, to put those closest to us first in our life as a priority to care for. Being a servant, having a heart of a servant is essential, right? As a Christian, to serve those most in need, particularly those closest to us and our family, in the circle of our loved ones, to tend to the needs of our city, our state, our country, to put those as a priority in our life that are most important to us, even when it comes to football. So we saw how often Josh Allen had to cover his ears when he's trying to hear the play in his headset and then screaming at the top of his lungs in the hopes that the players could hear him call out the play, as almost 80,000 Bronco fans screamed their heads off every time they were huddling as the coach had asked. It was quite effective, the 12th man on the field, if you will. When we put our team first, it helps us against our opponents. In the scriptures today, we hear time and again this importance of a calling to be a servant. The Lord said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, through whom I will show my glory." To have the heart of a servant like Christ, who came to serve and not be served, who washed the feet of his apostles, is the witness and a calling of every Christian. For many of us Catholics, I think we haven't even gotten to that point yet. For many of us, we go to Mass once a week for an hour. Maybe we pray a little bit during the week, but that's it. We don't pray before Mass begins. We're engaged in conversations inside the church rather than outside. We come for an hour. Maybe we come late. Maybe we leave early, if it's even an hour, but that's the extent of it. And that cultural Catholicism, that cultural practice of habit, either because of cultural demands or expectations from your parents or your spouse, or because that's how you were raised, is not enough. And it will never sustain you, not in this life, and certainly not in the next. God wants more of us, not for his sake, but for ours. And for those who have experienced the Lord in prayer, or maybe on a weekend retreat, when they received the sacrament of confirmation or marriage, and they had this life-changing encounter with Jesus as a real living person who changed my life, the instant, immediate desire is to then go and serve. I remember growing up as a Catholic, I went to Mass because my parents made me to, and I swore I'd never go back after my confirmation. They literally forced me to go to religious ed and forced me to go to Sunday Mass and forced me to go to confession once a year. And I was certain that I would never go back once I had a choice. But at my confirmation weekend retreat, when I was 13, 14 years old, I had that encounter with Jesus as a merciful, real, living God and not just some abstract person the priest talked about at Mass. And I realized most fundamentally that he knew the worst of me and loved me anyway. And I could be completely honest and open, hide nothing from him, and be loved unconditionally. And I wanted more of that. And with that experience, I came back to church and I signed up for youth group, and I eventually became an altar server, and I joined the Holy Hour prayer group once a week on Thursdays with the Exposition of Blessed Sacrament and Rosary. I started helping teach religious education and help give the retreat for eighth graders, those younger than me at the time. I wanted to serve. But the scriptures tell us very clearly that it is too little, the Lord says, for you to be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, restore the survivors of Israel, meaning it's too little for you simply to serve your own. It is not enough to just care for those here in the church. You might be heroic in your service here at the parish, and rightfully so. I mean, if you're a Catholic and this is your church, how do you only come to Mass for an hour a week and literally do nothing more? Do nothing more to serve, to help, to be involved, to be a part of a ministry, to offer your assistance to the community. It's too little, but it's too little to even do that, where you're dedicated to this community. The Lord says, "I will make you a light to the nations." In other words, it's not enough just to serve here. You're called to serve out there. Others need to know about me. It's not enough that you help your own. It's not enough that you put your family, your church, your country, or your football team first. Christ has called us to be a light to the nations. John the Baptist was an example of that. He pointed Jesus out to others. He didn't just stay with his disciples, and he had several. In fact, two of them would become apostles. It's at a moment when John the Baptist, on another occasion, John's gospel, sees Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And he points Jesus out to his disciples. And the scriptures tell us his disciples left him and they followed Jesus. Now John is completely alone. All the people he formed to prepare for the coming of the Messiah have seen the Lord because he pointed him out, and they have rightfully left him to follow Jesus. John the Baptist isn't saddened. He's not upset. He doesn't feel lonely, even though he is alone in a literal sense. He simply says, "May I decrease and he increase." John knew his work was complete. "I have come to prepare the way of the Lord for others, that through me, others may see Jesus and follow him." And with that, soon thereafter, as you know, he would be arrested and eventually be the first martyr for the faith, being decapitated by Herod at the request of his wife. "May I decrease and he increase." The life of the Christian who goes from once a week mass and little to nothing else to an experience and encounter of real conversion with Jesus, who becomes a great servant in the parish, is called to more, because it's not enough. It's too little to serve your own. God has called us to be a light to the nations so that all may come to know and love Jesus Christ and follow him. Behold the Lamb of God. This is the Savior of the world. Follow him. And what does that mean for you and me? What does that look like as light to the nations? It's things as simple as how you work. People may cut corners, they may lie, they may cheat on their hours, they may do their very least possible to keep their job while you work hard, not because of the pay, not because it's your dream job, but just simply because you love the Lord and you want to participate in his creative power by doing your very best at work. That alone is a witness to others. Goody two shoes, you think you're better than us? Why can't you do what everyone else does? Because I'm a Christian. And because I do this for love of God, not for the amount of money they pay me. It could be simply at school, when you choose not to cheat and everyone else is, or when someone's being bullied and you step in and say, "No, leave them alone, come with me, let's get out of here." It can be how you speak among your peers at work, among your peers at school, in your neighborhood. It could be how much you drink and how much you eat. As they continue, you stop, because you drink not to experience the effects. You love your freedom. You love your will. You love your self-governance. You like being able to walk and talk without falling because you're a Christian. And so these simple witnesses speaks to those around us. But it can be more than that. You have a neighbor who's depressed or who lost a loved one and they're grieving. Come with me to Mass. Let's pray. At every Mass, we always pray for the dead. I'll pick you up. I'll see you at 11 o'clock, whatever it is. It can be visiting a neighbor who's a widow or who's alone and just having a cup of coffee or bringing over some sweets and chatting and asking how their day is. It could be making a phone call to a family member that's estranged to let them know that you care about them, that you love them, and that you're thinking of them. Little things can go a long way. When I was in high school, I remember I had a friend whose parents were divorced and he was going through a lot, and I invited him to join me for the Stations of the Cross, and he went with me every Friday one Lent. He never forgot that, and that had a huge impact on his life. I didn't know any theology. I didn't tell him anything. I just simply said, "Hey, come with me to pray." And he did. It might be simply sharing with somebody the formed.org app that you have access to through your parish that's free, and sitting down and watching an edifying movie about a saint or about the faith, about Our Lady of Guadalupe for free, just watching a TV show and inviting someone to join you. That can make all the difference in their life. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to even hardly say anything. Just simply come with me. Come and see. You know, Andrew was a disciple of John. And when John the Baptist pointed Jesus out, Andrew left John, went to Jesus. But before he did that, he went to his brother Peter. "Peter, come. I think I found the Messiah. Come and see." And Peter would become the first pope of our church. Andrew simply invited his brother to come and see if this Jesus really is the Messiah, as John said. And the two of them would stand by his side and even give their lives for the Lord as martyrs later on. Come and see. Come and meet the one who's changed my life. Come and meet the one who gives me peace. Come and meet the one who loves you just as you are. I don't have the answers, but I know who does. Why don't we go together and meet him? That's how we become a light to the nations. Inviting people to come and to pray who may not be Catholic or who may be fallen away. They wouldn't come to Mass. They wouldn't ask for an appointment with me, but they know you, and you're the only Jesus they'll ever see. You are called to be his hands and feet, a light so that they can see his face, a face that looks upon them with love and compassion. So as we celebrate the second Sunday in Ordinary Time, the church is not celebrating any particular mystery, not his birth, Christmas, his resurrection, the Easter season, and not his passion and death, the Lenten season. But in Ordinary Time, we celebrate the fullness of the truths of the mysteries of faith, all of it in one whole gift and blessing. And we live that out by being not only servants, but light to the nations. It's too little to be his servant. God wants everyone to be saved. And for that to happen, he depends on you.